Hi, Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky met with U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff and Donald Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner in Berlin yesterday as efforts continue to find a peace deal for Ukraine. The talks will continue today with European leaders joining the German Chancellor Friedrich Merz. Significantly ahead of the talks, President Zelensky offered to drop Ukraine's aspirations to join NATO as long as his country receives security guarantees from the United States and Europe. Scott Lucas is professor and political analyst at the Clinton Institute in UCD, and he joins me now. Scott, good morning and welcome.
Very good morning to you, Pat.
So how are you reading these so-called peace talks? We know that the original draft was basically a Putin-inspired document, which has been, I suppose, moderated a little bit, but by how much?
You're right, Pat. We're still at the position where there are two very different proposals in play here. One, which was developed by Donald Trump's envoys who are in these talks, the real estate developer Steve Witkoff, Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner, developed with Putin's officials in late October, demands that Ukraine give up the strategic Donetsk region in the east of the country and demands that Ukraine is kept relatively weak politically and militarily, no membership in NATO, limits on its troops, restrictions on Western assistance. Now, the European proposal, and you've explained Vladimir Zelensky detailing a bit of it, does say, look, Ukraine is not going to join NATO for the foreseeable future. That's not in the cards. However, on the issue of Donetsk, it says, look, Ukraine cannot give up more territory to a Russian invader who could attack again. Secondly, that while Ukraine will not join NATO, there must be reliable security guarantees. So you cannot restrict Western military assistance, whether it comes from Europe, the United States, or elsewhere. And thirdly, you cannot have the U.S. taking 50% of the profits from Ukraine's recovery fund, which was in the original proposal. Mm-hmm. Now, we had very few details from the talks that took place yesterday for more than 5 hours. But one person close to them has come out and said that they were difficult because Witkoff and Kushner are still not compromising. And in particular, Pat, that issue of Donetsk, and this is a fortified strategic region, while the United States is not demanding be given to Russia, they are still demanding that Ukraine withdraw from that territory and it be made a demilitarized zone, whereas they're not demanding any Russian pullback from the areas that it occupies in eastern Ukraine.
We have never really got to the bottom of this volte-face by the United States on Ukraine. I mean, we know that the Vice President, J.D. Vance, seems to despise Europe for some reason, and Trump is not far behind him in that regard. But it's still inexplicable that they would want to hand a big chunk of that part of Europe over to Putin for his, expansion. I mean, surely the objective should be to contain Russia within its own borders.
Well, I think I can explain it for you, Pat. We can put it all together. As you mentioned, the Vice President, J.D. Vance, is very hostile to the U.S. working with Europe on European or Ukrainian security. We saw that last week in this dreadful national security strategy that was put out. But another faction in the United States, the working level officials, and especially Secretary of State Marco Rubio, through the summer and early autumn, had gotten the U.S. behind Ukraine. They had gotten it to provide military equipment via sales to NATO members. They had gotten it to provide intelligence sharing. And then on the 14th of October, Steve Witkoff, the real estate developer, who is very close to the Kremlin, he spoke to one of his friends there, Vladimir Putin's foreign policy aide, Yuri Ushakov, and he said, look, the U.S. has just put sanctions on Russian oil companies. They might give Tomahawk cruise missiles to Ukraine. We've got to do something about it. You've got to have Putin call Trump. And Vladimir Putin did call Trump 2 days later. The day after that, on October 17th, Witkoff was in the meeting when Trump met Volodymyr Zelensky in the White House. And Witkoff said, you should give up all of Donetsk to Russia because some people in Donetsk region speak Russian. Now, Trump held out against that. He said, no, you have to cease fire on the front lines. But Trump did pull back on offering the Tomahawks to Ukraine. And what happened is that in late October, the Kremlin seized this opportunity because Witkoff was saying this. They sent his buddy, Kirill Dmitriev, Vladimir Putin's top economic advisor, to Florida. And it was in those meetings with Witkoff and Kushner that they pushed back against the idea of ceasefire on the front lines and effectively said, ultimatum to Ukraine, you've got to give up this territory.
Now, the concession seems to have been made by Zelensky that the cessation would actually stop at the point of contact, in other words, at the front line, that there'd be no more, that land that is currently held by Ukraine would not be forfeited to Russia. That seems to be what they are offering, and they're offering this removal of the aspiration to join NATO. So,
hi, Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.
Where do we go to from here?
Yeah, I mean, look, Pat, although it was said privately for quite a long time, Zelensky and the European partners for months have seen this as the landing point. And that is, you cease fire on the front lines. Ukraine cannot push Russia out of the 19% that Russia holds. So you simply freeze the front lines. Then you have further discussions on how the rest of Ukraine is bolstered politically, economically, and militarily. The barrier to that? A guy named Vladimir Putin. Because let's be real here, because there are a lot of people who carry water for the Kremlin. Putin is not interested in a ceasefire. He said in India just over a week ago when he visited there, he said, we will get the rest of the Donetsk region, whether we take it by negotiation or by force. He said Ukraine will be kept militarily restricted. Part of what the Kremlin refers to as the root causes of the conflict. And then over the weekend, the Russian ambassador to Britain, in an interview with Channel 4, said, this isn't a question of a deal. This is a question of Kyiv surrender. In other words, the Kremlin is saying, we are not interested in any compromise here. We want you to accept our conditions, or otherwise we continue the attacks on the ground and in the air.
Now, Witkoff's, his own background, his paternal grandparents were from Russia, as it happens. They were Jewish people, I think, from Eastern Russia. So you wonder to what extent that there is in Witkoff's soul some hankering after the old country.
I think it's money, to be honest with you, Pat. Back in April, when Witkoff had a series of meetings with Vladimir Putin in St. Petersburg and in Moscow, you might remember the infamous moment where he showed up with no one else, not even a translator, in the Kremlin. Kirill Dmitriev showed him around St. Petersburg and Moscow. Why is that important? Kirill Dmitriev is the head of Russia's sovereign wealth fund. He manages the Kremlin's financial investments. He's been working with the Trump camp since 2017. And what Dmitriev worked on in April was a plan which said, if we get what we want in Ukraine, then we're going to have U.S.-Russian joint economic projects. Even without a resolution of the invasion, there are at least two major Trump donors, one of whom is a friend of Donald Trump Jr.'s from the university, who are talking to the Russians about energy contracts, are talking to them about rare earth deals, reviving the Nord Stream pipeline that was damaged in 2022. ExxonMobil, the U.S. oil giant, is talking to Russia's energy giant Rosneft about joint projects. Witkoff is a real estate developer. Like Trump, he's not interested in geopolitics, security deals. He wants to make a bit of money. And the way to do that at this point from Witkoff's perspective is not with Ukraine, but with Moscow.
Even though Trump has already done that deal on rare earths with Ukraine, everything about this administration, maybe it was always so about America, it's all down to money, 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 money. I mean, over the weekend when Trump or prior to the shooting at Brown University, Trump had been asked about the Venezuelan oil in the oil tanker that they seized. What's going to happen to the oil? And he said, I suppose we'll keep it. You know, and this is a huge amount of money in terms of the Venezuelan economy and what it could do for them. And they're just stealing it. I mean, it's open piracy. And it's that acting with impunity. I mean, we talked about Israel acting with impunity. Well, the United States seems to be in many theaters acting with utter impunity based on the simple proposition that might is right.
Well, if you want to bring it to Trump, Donald Trump was not against the invasion of Iraq in 2003. And in the years after that invasion of Iraq, what he said is, we should have just gone over and taken all the oil. Now, physically, that's actually impossible to do, to grab all the oil and bring it back. But that was his perception of things. And so when you have the conflict with Venezuela, and let's be honest here, the ultimate goal of others in the administration, including the Secretary of State Marco Rubio, is regime change in Venezuela. But you have this shift from the pretext of narco-terrorists, the attacks on those boats that may or may not have drugs on them. And then it's like, now we can take Venezuelan ships, tankers, all kinds of tankers, both to put more pressure on Maduro, but also because it satisfies Trump's personal wish. I will add one thing, Pat, which is not the entire administration is not allied for the sake of profit against Ukraine. The reason why we have not yet seen Zelensky have to accept the U.S. ultimatum is not just because of the European support, but because Marco Rubio, his Secretary of State, and many of the working level officials do not want to give way to Putin. So we still do have a split administration, and it could go either way, which is why Zelensky and Europe have to maintain their line in Berlin today.
A final thing, and it's not related to any of what we've been talking about. It's just about, you know, America getting things wrong. And I noticed that the police had arrested the so-called shooter in the Brown University shooting at the weekend, and his name, identity were plastered all over social media. And then even on mainstream media, he was identified on CNN from his LinkedIn page. This guy's totally innocent.
Yeah, what happened, Pat, is...
They've ruined him. They've ruined him.
Yeah, and what had happened, Pat, is that after this shooting at this university in Rhode Island, killed two people, it injured nine, the police, doing their job, picked up what we call a person of interest. And we know that phrase in Ireland as well,
sure.
Right? This is someone who may or may not be connected to the shooting. We haven't established it yet, but we need to question this person. So they did their job. The problem was is that the FBI director, Kash Patel, went onto social media and said, we got him. We got him, right? So Kash Patel, and we can have another discussion at some point as to why this man is utterly unqualified to be in his position. He had actually prejudiced the investigation and also, as you mentioned, threatened this person's reputation that was later proven to be innocent by simply trying to get publicity. It has happened in other cases before around Patel. It just so happens it occurs around this horrible high-profile mass shooting that is occupying the headlines and will do so again today.
Scott, thank you very much for joining us. Scott Lucas, Professor and Political Analyst at the Clinton Institute at UCD.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hi. Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.